It's a special season for followers of Christ. It's Easter. I'm Ruth Kramer.
And I'm Greg Yoder. Thanks for joining Mission Network News for the next few moments as we look at Easter a little differently. Matthew 28 is a familiar text to most people for at least a couple of reasons. One, it tells the story of the resurrection. Two, it tells the story of the Great Commission.
So Greg, what's the connection between these two stories? I mean, what links Easter to the Commission? And why did Matthew choose to tell the story this way?
Well, it's because the resurrection summons us to a mission. The resurrected Jesus has given his people a job to do, a task to complete, a mission to accomplish. That is, to make disciples of all the nations.
So what does that look like in a changing world where even the name of Christ can bring a lot of trouble? Our first story comes to us from Ukraine, where a lot of things have been changing over the last year. Now, Greg, you've been staying on top of things with Russian Ministry Sergei Rakhuba as we've covered the situation. In this interview recorded just a couple of weeks ago, we'll hear not only about the anxiety that it's causing, but also the disharmony.
I see lots of fear and anxiety when I talk to people, so that they think if Putin could go and if Russia could go against of the entire world in this huge political game, so they think that nothing can stop him to invade the rest of Ukraine, but specifically in eastern regions of Ukraine. And we see there's more pro-Russian people are uprising now, fighting with Ukrainian police, fighting with pro-Ukrainian crowds of people in places like Kharkov, Donetsk, Lugansk. And there are lots of anxiety. They think, you know, if they will request Russia to invade now and protect them, Russia may not stop because the rest of the world can do anything militarily. Nobody can stop them. And we know that there are lots of, they call them Russian tourists or titushki or, you know, thugs, you know, as we call them in English. So there are lots of those are now in three major eastern Ukrainian major cities. And so they provoke more violence today, attacking pro-Ukrainian crowds. Police cannot get involved with any weapons, so that then Russian army would have a reason to invade and to protect pro-Russian interests. As that's what Putin says. If people want them to come and protect them against illegitimate government of a current Ukraine, so he says, we may consider if there is a need in it. So when everybody saw that the referendum went so smoothly, despite of any sanctions against the Russian government, did not stop anything. So the people are here are scared, so the world is not doing anything. They want to see that the world community is standing behind them. They want to know that Western democratic societies are behind them and they are ready to defend them. Russia is using so much disinformation today, you would not believe that. And people got lost in all of this.
Is there unity in the evangelical church in Ukraine, or is it very much divided, as is the nation?
Greg, since yesterday, I had dozens of conversations, and none of those conversations we talked about the same thing, and we would agree on things with. I mean, even now I'm talking to Greg, you know, in the next door room, and they're talking and trying to figure out what to do. The question is, you know, what is right to support? And what's the position should be the church, you know, in a situation like this? So the financial need is enormous, but also the need in providing spiritual counseling, but also Christian literature. And I'm talking about there is a huge need in scripture today in the printed word of God. We are working on to print hundreds of thousands of copies of Gospel of Luke that will be distributed across the nation through all those public events, but also through seminars, counseling workshops that will be organized to help people on behalf of the church and their communities with their spiritual counseling issues, but also that the Word of God, the printed Word of God, will be placed in the hands of those people who search for hope, search for answers. And we already see how much people are open to the gospel today. And we would greatly appreciate your listeners to consider help us financially to print enough copies of scripture for the Ukrainian people when they are so hungry for the gospel. They're so much hungry for true answers about eternity, about hope in Christ.
The full interview can be found at missionnetworknews.org and click on News and then Interviews and you can find it there. You're listening to a Mission Network News special report.
Political chaos isn't the only place where the hope of Christ can transform a seemingly hopeless situation.
Take social justice issues. When you start talking about human trafficking, it doesn't get more hopeless than that. The issue is front and center for Brazil's churches now that the country will host both the World Cup and the Summer Olympic Games in 2016.
The FIFA World Cup is among the world's most widely viewed sporting event, with the last event filling stadiums in South Africa with over 3 million fans.
With less than 2 months to go until the 2014 World Cup in Brazil, tickets are in high demand. But so are Brazilian women and children. Trafficking is already on the rise in Brazil. Reports indicate a 1,500% increase last year. The 2014 World Cup and the 2016 Olympic Games are expected to bring another spike.
Jeff Drugsma of EFCA Reach Global Crisis Response says their team reaches out to the lost and needy slum dwellers of Rio de Janeiro. This summer, Reach Global teams will be in each of the cities hosting a World Cup match.
We have partnered with organization called Exodus Cry that is in the process of setting up focus centers in the 12 cities that will be hosting the World Cup. The World Cup lasts 31 days. Each one of those days, 24 hours a day, we're going to have a location, a house or building where we will pray nonstop, worship nonstop, and out of that, leave the building and go out into the streets, into these areas where the herding rat prostitutes. We have lots of transvestite, heterosexual prostitution going on all over the city. And so we want to combat that. We've really discovered that it's pretty simple to get out there, to show love, to talk to people, make connections, show them that there is another option, there is more hope. Jesus has something better for them.
But their work doesn't stop at evangelism. Reach Global is also working with Brazilian churches to get trafficking victims off the streets.
The second step in all this is the restoration. And that means we need to identify missions and churches that are going to receive these people. We have numerous partners, Brazilian partners, who work with prostitutes, drug addicts. And so we need to be able to be that bridge. So number one, the feet on the ground, the love, the touch, and then secondly, the bridge to those organizations that take those in. For example, the church we just got done working with at Carnival, Caju Life Church, they have a very intense discipleship program where they take in people with a varied past, horrific, hurting past, and disciple them and help them work through these processes. We have close friends in that church that have come out of prostitution and years of discipleship, learning how to walk as Jesus wants us to walk in healthy, awesome ways.
In partnership with the church, Reach Global organizes a team of 100 to 200 believers. Then they join the people celebrating Carnival in the streets of Rio de Janeiro. Drugsma says they attract plenty of attention.
We go out onto the very streets of Carnival in amongst all these people, in various forms of dress and activities, dancing and singing to Jesus to show them that we have a different type of joy, a joy that lasts. It's also an amazing time to reach out to people because the reality is these people are looking to fill holes in their lives. And so this is a great chance to share with them, to smile, doing the simple things, the things that Jesus would do and did do. People are flabbergasted when they discover it. First, they think we're just another group singing and dancing. And then as they get closer to us and hear what we're singing and dancing, and we start talking to them, they are amazed and take it back. Most people are very receptive, occasionally run into people that aren't too happy with us. But as a whole, once they feel our love, they see our smiles, our gentle touches, we have some amazing results. People start weeping. We have awesome chances to share the gospel and to pray for people. It's an incredible time.
Human dignity is also great commission work, though it comes in a different package than you might expect. International Women's Day is a good example of that. Each year on March 8th, a cry goes out for the recognition of women and women's rights. Born out of a U.S. socialist movement of 1909, International Women's Day became a global platform for the recognition of that. What began as a strike for safe working conditions and the right to vote became an annual demand for equality in all aspects aspects of life. Achievements are celebrated, and the day brings awareness to the challenges that remain. For example, in India, baby girls are considered a curse to the family. As an in-country ministry leader for Grand Rapids, Michigan-based Mission India, Sam is surrounded by this mindset.
Basically, I'm born and brought up in a village where women were treated as a substandard human beings. Never given any opportunity to go to schools. Even in the home, you know, they were not allowed to be a part of the decision-making team. And so I grew up with that kind of surroundings all through my life. You know, even my mom really wanted to work with the government because she was educated a little bit in those days, eighth grade. And the government offered her some employment, but my dad, you know, was not ready for women to work. It's my own personal experience, you know, as I grew. Then, you know, how my mom was not allowed to go to workstations despite of the opportunity that she had in her life.
The tide is gradually shifting in India's urban areas and cities, he says. But in rural villages, the areas that Mission India serves by partnering with local churches, change is much slower.
Of late, things are changing in the towns and the urban situation. However, in the rural India, the situation remains the same. You know, even in parents, they really don't want a girl child to be in their family. Simply because, you know, a girl child always, they feel as a liability. You know, the investment that they do in the life of a girl child is of waste. Because, however, she'll be going out to different house. So that's the reason they don't want to really give a good education to them. First of all, they don't want to have a girl child. But in my home, like I have two daughters and, you know, they are in the colleges now. I'm so happy whether they are here with me or elsewhere. You know, I have given them the adequate education so they'll be able to stand on their own feet, which gives actually the esteem, honor, dignity, kind of a sense of belongingness to the society.
Mission India's adult literacy program helped men and women break free from the chains of illiteracy. During year-long classes, students achieve a fifth grade level of reading and writing. But how does this connect to the hope of Jesus Christ?
It's not only a social transformation, intellectual transformation, economical transformation. They realize that there is a vacuum and they realize that they need a savior in their life as they go through the primers and that are designed by the Mission India. You know, we do have the Word of God imbibed into it. And we actually tell them that, you know, they need a savior. Because in India, a lot of people struggle to come out of sin. And they find there is no one single solution for it. But as they go through the books, they find answer for their life.
There are more details to stories like these at missionnetworknews.org. Just search for the ones you like. With each one, you have the opportunity to pray, give, or go. It's our part of the Easter story.
This year, we wanted to share something a little different as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We wanted to provide you with the practicalities of an impractical gospel.
As we close this broadcast, I want to ask you a question. How many other organizations are doing what Mission Network News does? Can I ask you to support the work that we do? We're recruiting ordinary people to share the extraordinary message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Support MNN at our website and get the newest Casting Crown CD, Thrive. On behalf of the MNN team, Ruth Kramer, Dodd Morris, Katie Harth, I'm Greg Yoder. Thanks for joining us today on the Mission Network News Special Report, a Cornerstone University radio production.